You know, he ought to learn how to just get that out. It kind of holds it in too much, you know that? Thank you, PJ. I appreciate that. I'm glad he sings with enthusiasm. And aren't you glad that we have that promise of Jesus coming again? And that's a wonderful thing to think about. The part of the chorus there, it says, the dead in Christ will rise. So we know Baptists are going first. Because it said the dead in Christ. So some Baptist churches, some, and occasionally ours, we've lived a little bit dead on Sunday mornings. And I also thought about that, we'll all be changed. I saw at a church, I went by the nursery, and they had that slogan up from the Bible, from 1 Corinthians 58, we shall all be changed. Y'all didn't catch that. It was in the nursery that I saw that, Wes. I'm sorry you didn't catch that joke there. All the diapers were going to be changed. So anyway, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad for the great grace of God in my life, and I know you are. His grace in your life. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. I've been in Isaiah here a little while. We were in chapter 58 the other week. And so today we'll be in Isaiah chapter 40, a wonderful book of the Bible. Isaiah, whose name means Jehovah, the Lord is salvation. And God certainly used him to spell out and teach and preach and write about the great salvation that God offers to his people. I want to read, excuse me, if I could, beginning in verse 28 and read down through the end of the chapter, chapter 40, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Our focus this year is 2020 vision, and we talked about this month being somewhat of a focus on revival, and one of the words associated with that is the word renew. It's mentioned for us in verse number 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the word renew is used many times in the Bible. I'll just give you a quick rundown. It's not what I'm preaching on, but I'd like you to be reminded of it. Here it tells us to renew our strength. There are times when we don't have the strength to go on. And we need our strength renewed. We're wore out. Any of y'all ever been wore out? Have you ever heard this phrase, burn out? I heard one preacher say, well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. I reckon that's probably all right too. But the fact of the matter is, we do get burnt out. We get rusted out. We get tired in the process. We don't get tired of the ministry, but we do get tired in the ministry. And it doesn't matter if you're trying to be a mother at home or a dad at home, or you're trying to make sure you make ends meet financially, you get tired sometimes. Things wear on you. And if you're not careful, you'll try to do it in your own strength. And I'm here to remind you this morning, you need the Lord to renew your strength. Lord, I'm weak, I'm feeble, I'm about to faint, I'm just about to fall over, I don't know if I can keep going. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been there, but sometimes you reach wit's end. You don't know what to do. You're kind of confused, but you're also wearied and tired. I found this to be true. Y'all know I'll tell you this now. Sunday afternoon's a good time to get a real spiritual nap. Some of you burn the candle at both ends, and every now and then you're just going to have to slow down and stop, or the Lord has a way of slowing you down and stopping you so you'll get some rest. Just physical rest, but we need spiritual as well. So we're to renew our strength. That's one thing. So if you're weak today, go to the Lord and ask Him to renew your strength. If you feel weary, you feel like you can't go on, if you're a little overwhelmed, go to the Lord today and ask Him to renew your strength. There's another thing mentioned in the Bible in Romans chapter 12. Says we are to renew our mind, to be not conformed to this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, one is physical and spiritual strength. That's what we need renewed. Secondly is our mind, the way we think. You know, the Bible reveals to us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. like the heaven is higher than the earth, and that his ways are above our ways like the heaven is high above the earth. Sometimes I find myself thinking my thoughts instead of God's thoughts. Well, how in the world can you think God's thoughts? You read the Bible. And from the Word of God, you get God's thoughts. Has it ever occurred to you that God has an opinion about things? We make decisions, we make choices, we have ventures, we go out into this area, we dive off into something over here, and we just ask different people's opinion. We ask our spouse, we ask our friends, you might ask the preacher, but the truth of the matter is that there are times we just need to say, Lord, what do you think about this? And you have to be careful with that, that you're not saying, Lord, I want to feel everything I'm supposed to do. It ain't all about feeling. What we have to learn is this. We need to go to the Word of God, and in the Bible, reading these pages, we find out God's opinion about things. Now, I'm not going to go to Nancy Pelosi and ask her what her prayer life is. She's been praying for the president. I think she's been praying for God to kill him. I'm not real sure. But I don't know that there's some people I'm not real sure I want them praying for me, you know. But I'm just saying that there are times when people have their mind geared to the way they do it or the way they feel. And sometimes the Lord gets blamed for stuff. You ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, the Lord told me. Well, the Lord led me. Well, I feel like the Lord. Now listen, if you feel that way and you pull a gun out and murder somebody, that was not the Lord leading you. You decide to go out one night because you're frustrated with stuff and you decide to go out and get drunk. Don't you be blaming that on the Lord. Like, well, I just felt like he wanted me. God never steers us contrary to his word. So we should find out. I've had people come to me before and said, you know what? I feel like the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to leave my wife and run off with this other woman over here. And I said, well, I've met your wife. I don't blame you at all. No, I didn't say that at all. It's just weird. And you know, you want to say this much, please, I don't talk with stupid people. Get out of my office. But people are that way. I mean, they're just duped into thinking that. They get caught up with their feelings, with their emotions, with what they'd call love. And then somehow the feelings and hormones and everything else overwhelms them. And the next thing you know, they're running off after somebody and they say, the Lord led me. No, God does not lead us into sin or temptation. So we're to renew our strength, renew our mind. We are to renew the inward man. This old one on the outside gets tired, but that one on the inside gets renewed. But I'll tell you how. I know you're thinking, well, how do you renew the inward man? The inward part of you, you renew that inward man by fellowship with the people of God. You go to church. You renew that inward man by reading the Word of God. You renew that inward man by praying. You renew that inward man by singing the songs of faith. I get a little frustrated with our teenagers sometime in our Christian school. When they're in, before they reach teenage years, when they're 4th, 5th, 6th grade, they'll come in here and they will sing their hearts out. We'll sing I don't know if y'all remember that song we used to do years ago. We'd have one half the church sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And the other side sing praise ye the Lord and do it back and forth and see if you can do it the loudest. When kids are in the 5th and 6th and 7th grade, they will scream their lungs out to do that. But about time they turn 13 and 14, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the boys that sound that way. That's what's really troubling. Now, granted, some of them's voices are changing about that age. But it's amazing that the older they get and they reach that 16, 17, and all of a sudden, it ain't cool anymore to sing the songs of Zion. Well, we might can blame teenagers because they're going through all those hormonal changes in those years. But what's our excuse? Why is it that we don't sing the songs of faith? Do they not mean anything to us? Man, when Brother Earl opens that hymn book, you know this is a man that sings with enthusiasm. Now, I know y'all sing, well, I can't sing as good as him. None of us can. But I'm going to tell you this right now. The Bible does not say we have to make a beautiful noise or a wonderful noise or a great noise, but we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Anybody can make a joyful noise. I mean, listen, and some of y'all would tell me after church that you're joyful, but you need to notify your face because I can't see it. This is where we want to see the joy of the Lord. So anyway, I'm chasing rabbits here. This is not really the message, but I'm going to go ahead and get it out. Maybe it's what I need to say. We are to be renewed in knowledge. Colossians chapter 3, we should renew our love according to Revelation chapter 3. We're to renew a right spirit. David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. There's a few times when I was living at home, my daddy said, because he didn't like my attitude, he said, do you need an attitude adjustment? And generally when he said that, I knew he was sending me to the truck to get a tire iron out, you know, and take a crowbar or something upside my head. Now, he never actually did that, but do y'all know anybody in your family or that you're sitting near right now that needs an attitude adjustment? Would you just say amen? Mm-hmm. Let me get a drink of water over here while some of y'all renew your marriages because you just broke them up right there all of a sudden. Psalm 51 verse 10 is where that's at in the Bible in case you want to look at it later. Renew a right spirit within me. I think David understood how easy it is. You just think about it for a minute. If you don't renew your strength, renew your mind, renew that inward man, renew your knowledge, but renew your love, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get a bad attitude. I found this to be true. Sometimes people get a bad attitude at the house and they take it to work with them. And then there's other people that get a bad attitude at work and take it home with them. Am I preaching to people who didn't come today, or am I preaching to y'all? Someone like, you've been reading my mail? No. Sometimes I just start saying it, and I can tell by the look on your face. Some of y'all already got your head bowed. It ain't time to pray. Get your head up. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. You're already feeling bad. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. But I see in this passage, let me just stop the renewed section right there and go to this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I got to thinking about that. It's got to be more than just sit down. So I decided to study that a little bit. Well, when you think about waiting, I think about the waiting room. Y'all been to the doctor or the dentist? You go to the waiting room. Now, generally speaking, you go to the waiting room and you wait outside. You got to walk in. And don't matter if you've been there 25 days in a row, you got to sign in. I reckon they're testing your handwriting. Now, I have no idea. So you go sign in. Then you go sit down and wait. Then they call your name. You know what you do next? You wait in another room. You wait on the doctor and you wait on the nurse. It's like from one waiting room to the other. Now, I tend, when I'm in a waiting room, I don't just wait. I ain't got no good magazine. Now, you can pull your phone out and you can look up stuff on your phone. But back in the day, just curious to me to look at people and wonder what's wrong with them. Because you know they're looking at you the same way. He got hemorrhoids. What you reckon's wrong with him? He is kind of sitting over to the side. What you reckon it is? Nothing there. Well, he don't appear to be nothing wrong. He may be here for mental reasons. Several of y'all would qualify. Nick, good to see you today. You look over there, and of course, if there's a lady and she's expecting, you can pretty well sit, but you don't ask them questions. You can put your foot in. Are you expecting? Get slapped and say, no, I'm not. Bam, upside the head. You got to be careful about those things. But anyway, I thought about that waiting. I said, it can't mean that. Just go sit down in a room and wait till God shows up. I don't believe that's true. Because he promised that we would never go anywhere that he wouldn't be with us. No matter where we go and where we travel, what we do in labor or ministry, God will be with us. And then I looked that word up. It carries the idea of entwine. In other words, while waiting, we entwine, or I maybe could use the word intermingle, our thoughts with God's thoughts, our words with God's words, our thinking with God's thinking. And so that while I'm waiting, I'm reading His Word. While I'm waiting, I'm praying. While I'm waiting, I'm witnessing. I was talking to a fellow yesterday we had a ball game down in Jacksonville, and one of the gentlemen down there is a very avid soul winner. Was reminding me of a dear friend we had in common. I knew him, but didn't really know him personally, Dr. Curtis Hudson, who pastored many years at Forest Hills Baptist Church in Forest Hills, Georgia, or Forest Park, wherever it was up there in North Georgia, Stone Mountain. That if he'd get restless in the middle of the night praying about something and he had not had a breakthrough, it might be 2 in the morning, he would get up and go get a 5-gallon can and go fill it up with gas. And he would go riding on Highway 285, one of those bypasses up there around Atlanta. He said, because there's always somebody breaking down who's run out of gas. And so he intertwined his labor and his witness with his waiting. And said on one occasion, what he did was he went out there and the fellow was stopped side the road and he stopped and said, you need some gas? He said, I sure do. I've run out. He pulled out a 5-gallon can. He said, well, I got some gas here for you and it's free. I'll give it to you. One condition. After I put the gas in your car, you got to listen to me for 5 minutes. And he said there was a number of people that he led to Christ during those times. Now, I wonder how many of us would be that dedicated to do something like that. That takes a level of dedication and a little bit of youth to be able to be up at that hour of the night too. But to be able to go and do that. My point is, here somebody was waiting, praying about something, was waiting, could not rest, but rather than just sit there, decided to intertwine that with something that he was doing. So when it says, they that wait upon the Lord, that is to intertwine or entwine ourselves with the things that the Lord has for us in our life, reading His Word, praying, fellowship with one another, leading our families in the right and godly way. And while doing that, the Lord will renew our strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I notice the atmosphere here. It's a mounting up. Eagles don't walk on the ground. You drive down the road, you see a dead deer somewhere, and them birds gathered around about that dead deer are not eagles. Eagles don't do that. They don't walk around feeding on the dead carcass of a carrion beside the road. Eagles soar up in the heavens. And that fact alone will remind us that our citizenship is not here, but it is on the other side. We forget, don't we, that this world is not my home. And it's not your home either. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. There's something wrong with us as Christians when we fit in and feel at home in this world. The old preachers used to say it this way. It's like putting the stakes down in a tent as you're setting up outside. Don't drive your stakes too deep. Because one of these days, Jesus is coming again, and He's going to call us out of here. And He's going to, the Bible uses the phrase, caught or catched, as we would say, caught away. In other words, He's going to come and snatch us out of this place and carry us up to a heavenly place. Our citizenship is there, and one day our residence will be there. I see also there is an arena here. The atmosphere of heaven, but there's an arena. He mentions three words here that are interesting to me, that they will mount up with wings as eagles. That's flying. They'll run, not be weary, and they'll walk, not faint. I can't think of those words. Could I ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament and just read these verses or follow along with me as I read them? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in 1 John chapter 1, he wrote these words, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And he goes on to say down in verse number 7, if we walk in the light, there's running. The eagles fly in the heavens, but there's running in faith, and there's walking in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I see in that word walk the avenues of daily life. In and out, up and down, right and wrong. I think it's not so much we have trouble with church once a week. I don't think it's so much we have trouble with a revival meeting every now and then. I don't think it's so much we have trouble when a guest preacher's in. I think what it is, it's the daily routine of walking and living for God that's difficult. To get up every day and do the same thing, routine over and over again. Read my Bible, pray, try and live for God, and do the best that I can. I think it's important. I don't know about you, but I go through spells when I sure do need the Lord to renew my strength and renew my mind. And that happens best when I think His thoughts, when I run and walk and fly like I'm supposed to in faith while waiting upon Him for His guidance and direction. And surely I want to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. Verse 1 of the next chapter carries the thought, one more step and I'm done. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. There is an element that God will do for us. He will renew our strength. But then He expects us to renew our strength ourselves. That is, we have to make an effort. Some folks sit back and say, well, I'm waiting for God to hit me in the head with a hammer. I'm waiting for a bolt of lightning to strike me. You know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes God speaks in that still small voice on the inside, and we know what we ought to do. We know the right thing. We need to step forward and do it. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have to wait till a committee got together and told Him to go to the cross. He didn't have to wait till the church made a vote on it. He just said this much, I know what my Father wants me to do, and He went and done it. And thank God He did. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all for us? Let's pray together.